Okay, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for, well, it's time for...
It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news. It's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news.
Not what you expected, is it? Gotcha. Gotcha, didn't I? Yeah, all you people out there. Thought it was going to be the regular beginning to my show. The show. Our show. It's everybody's show. I've got just a little bit of time tonight to put this whole thing together, so I'm going to jump right into it. That was the TNA to Me Singers. They were not at their best this evening. They were, I think they need to work on a few things. They're a little bit off on their harmonies there a little bit. But what do you expect for something that's, you know, whipped together in 5 minutes? And for what you're paying for this, this kind of entertainment, you can't. You know, you can't put a price on this kind of entertainment. It is priceless. Or maybe the better term is it is worthless. So there's a lot of stuff in the news right now. This thing with AOC is not going away. And I find it very hilarious. I find it extremely hilarious, actually. Yeah, it's, if, you know, if she would have just left it alone, I think it would have gone away, but she has continued to hammer this thing. She's continued to bring this stuff up. And now there are like a lot of other people coming out and saying, you know, just here's the problem. This, I was thinking about this on the way, here to the office, and here's the problem. The problem is, the left and the media do not call her out on this. They just let her keep digging the hole. And there seems to be no end to this. She's like, I guess video now has been released on the whole thing of what happened that day. Now, she was saying in her little video, she was remarking that they were screaming, "Where is she? Where is she? We want to get her. Where is she?" Like as if they were really mean and cruel. And she looked out the little window in the bathroom, from the bathroom there. And she, all she could see was this guy in a black beanie coming after her. It was a Capitol police officer. Wasn't even in the same building. It was a long ways away. And she's like terrified that they got in. Now, granted, there were people everywhere. Well, there's something wrong with that water. I just had a drink of water, and there's something wrong with that. That's probably going to give me bad dreams. It's like AOC. So I didn't. It's just hilarious what's going on with that. And I guess there's another couple of other Congress people that are right down the hall from her, a couple doors down, and they're all saying they were there too, and they were. Of course, you can't say she had no business being scared or, you know, whatever her problem is. But, you know, for goodness sake, for one thing, okay, you might need to get professional help. But at the same time, And I'm serious about that. There's some issues. If you got some trauma in your life, maybe you need to see somebody about that, because this is the kind of thing that could have actually been very detrimental to her situation. And the whole story that she told was so made up anyway. But if she seriously is that scared and that terrified, if it's causing her judgment to be that, to not even trust the people who are there to protect you, then you've got a problem. That's a problem. And, you know, on top of that, she's piling on all this other stuff about other congressmen and other senators that are actually out to kill her, that are directing her to where she's at. Go get her. That's just, there's something wrong with that. And if the left won't call her out on it, of course they won't, because they're scared of each other. But now, I haven't heard how it's going. I guess as of the time that I was here and working on this, as I'm working on this podcast right now, as I understand it, they're probably done with this now. And I think that they were supposed to have a vote on Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think is the way you pronounce her name. And I think it was, now she came out with a statement on the House floor. And let them have it. I mean, as far as very polite, she's very polite about it, but in my opinion, she was very, clear about, her opinions and what this whole charade. And of course, CNN's making a big deal. They're saying she's weak. They were talking over her speech and telling us what we should think about it instead of just letting her speak. Talk. It's unbelievable. And everything she had to say was right on the mark. She was trying to call them out on their hypocrisy, which I've determined long ago, you can't do that. That's just a part of their fabric. It's like telling a scorpion or a snake not to be a snake. There's a very good comparison between her and Ilhan Omar, and how, you know, how basically the comparison between the two and the rhetoric that has happened between the two and the things that have been said, and who really is, you know, more dangerous. And you've got, Eric Swalwell, which I won't push the button. I'm tempted to, but I'm not going to do it. It just isn't as funny if Rabbi Rick isn't here. I just, you know, just me laughing in a room at someone farting is kind of It's no fun being childish when you're doing it by yourself. There's something wrong with that. Yeah. The interesting part of this whole thing is that, they don't get called out on any of that. None of it. And it gets so frustrating. Now, Jake Tapper is saying that her speech on the floor was disingenuous. I guess he can decide now. He's not a journalist. We're not just getting the news from him, which has been happening for a long time. You don't just get the news from those people. They are commentators. And and that's fine. If he wants to be a commentator, just come out and say you're a commentator. Say you're on the left and you're a commentator. Don't sit there and act like you're a bipartisan, because that's not right either. Well, I'm obviously who I am. No bones or apologies for it. And what aggravates me is that someone like Jake Tapper comes out, who's someone who's supposed to be impartial and an objective reporter. And he's so totally in the tank on the left. Not even funny. So just saying all that to say, I think they're supposed to be voting on whether or not to remove her from some committees, which they already went through the whole thing with Liz Cheney. And frankly, I don't like Liz Cheney. I wouldn't vote for her. I would vote for a Democrat before I voted for her, just because I know she needs to go. Just because she has an R behind her name, I'm not going to vote for her. Or I wouldn't vote for her. I wouldn't necessarily vote for a Democrat either. But I won't vote for anybody like that. So that's just where I'm at. And I think my understanding is, I heard a report today that a lot of people have left the Republican Party now. And it's not that they won't vote Republican, but they've left the Republican Party. They feel like because of the, and they've left not because of Trump. They've left because of the ridiculousness of the swamp creatures, of the establishment Republicans. They're ashamed of them for the way they've been acting. They're frustrated with the whole system, and they're getting out of the Republican Party altogether. I guess there's been a statement as well that Trump will not be giving any testimony during the impeachment trial. Now, he may submit a written testimony, which is typically the way they'll have the lawyers have him craft a written testimony, which is typically the way it goes. The AP has reported one of their headlines is Biden's speech signals to the world that America is back. In other words, we're globalists again. That's what that's really saying. That was from the AP, Associated Press. That was a headline on their little thing. So this thing with AOC has just kind of gotten out of hand, and it's she's getting called on the carpet for it, but they from the right. But that won't go anywhere. You won't hear about it on the legacy media. You won't hear about any of that stuff. And of course, now they're discovering, as with most things, when Congress gets involved to try to help and save the day, they're discovering that all of their emergency aid and all the help that they're trying to give everybody is really messing things up. Big surprise there. One of the major things that's going on right now, a lot of people are in rental housing. A lot of people live there in rental apartments, rental housing. And of course, they are allowing people to not be evicted during this time if they can't pay their rent. A lot of states have that mandate, and I think that's part of the I'm not sure if it's a federal thing or if it's just states. Pretty sure it's just states. And I guess in New York, they've basically said if you can't pay your rent, then you don't have to right now. The problem is that a lot of these landlords have mortgages to pay, and they don't get out of that. They still have to pay those mortgages. So, they're stuck. They're the ones footing the bill for this whole thing. They're not getting any relief. And if you're going to forgive the rent payments, then what you need to do is make those rent payments for them. Not just tell them, guess what? Now you don't have to pay your rent. Okay, so when I go to Walmart, I guess I don't have to pay my bill. I just walk out with my stuff. I guess I can just order stuff on Amazon and they'll just send it to me free. Why don't they just say that? Anything you need, just go ahead and order it. You don't have to pay for it. Anybody who owns a business and creates anything or has any kind of produces anything, they're just going to be out because they have to give it away now. We're mandating that they have to give it away. That's what's happening. It's no different. Landlords are providing a product, housing, and the government's basically saying they don't have to pay for it. Nobody has to pay you for it. We're just going to give it to them with your funding, with your money. You're going to give it to them. They're mandating that. That's ridiculous. I see it in the airline industry. They're going to recall all the airline pilots. If you got anybody on furlough, you have to pull them back off furlough and pay them to be on staff. Oh, by the way, we're only flying 20% of what we were, the schedules, but you got to call them back to do nothing. Pay them to stay home because, and by the way, by the time you get them back on staff, this is all going to run out within 28 days later. So there's guys coming back off furlough. This isn't just in the airline industry. This is a lot of industries. But what they don't understand is that the airlines plan everything out 2.5 months ahead of time on their schedules. It's very difficult for them to change up in midstream. I mean, when you stop and think about it, it is an amazingly orchestrated event. How the airlines function at all is still a mystery to me, and I'm a part of it. So we stop and think about it. If you know anything about all the maintenance that has to be done on an airplane, you know anything about the crew schedules and how they have to be put together in a way that they meet all the requirements of not just the FAA, but also union issues and all the other time requirements and all that stuff that has to go together. Now, you throw into that passenger schedules catching connections. And on top of that, on top of all that, let's throw in the bags while we're at it. And cargo of other kinds and mail that some of the airlines carry. All this stuff is going on like clockwork. It is an amazing thing to behold how that all happens. And somebody complains when they have their bag get lost. It's amazing. I mean, you have a right to complain. I mean, they need to get their act together. But it is amazing to me. It still amazes me that all that happens and functions and it pretty much runs on time most of the time. That it runs on time at all is amazing to me. Because especially when you throw in the wild card of maintenance issues on an airplane. I've owned airplanes and I know it's crazy. I mean, the things that can pop up on an airplane that you just don't think about. I mean, something breaks that's not on the MEL list. Okay, well, now what do we do? Now it's grounded. Some little simple little thing. And, or just, you know, you're at an outstation, you're at some place where there is no maintenance or there's very little maintenance or the maintenance is 6 hours away and something happens and breaks. Now what do we got to do? And now that throws a monkey wrench into all the other plans that airplane was supposed to do and the crew was supposed to do and everything else that was supposed to happen and all the passengers are all messed up and now that's going to overload the next flight. It just amazes me. And that stuff happens all day long and, you know, the dispatchers are, they just keep doing their thing. And it's amazing how they put it all together. So I commend those guys and gals for doing all that and putting it all together and just making it work. So it's a lot of stuff going on there. And the government, getting back to my point, is the government has no idea. They just think this stuff happens because you wave a magic wand. And I guess they don't realize that this stuff has to be, you know, thought through a little bit. They just keep passing bills and legislation and think it's all going to happen. It just happens. Somebody else out there pays for it. So the next time you pay $35 for a ticket to get somewhere, realize that you're riding for nothing. So we have all this stuff going on. So I heard this report today. I saw a couple little bitty articles. So it was Whitmer, Governor Whitmer, back in the news, makes a big speech. Now, I'm not sure exactly why. When she makes a speech, she has her mouth covered with two or three or four big, huge, heavy masks on her face. And of course, she has to have that on there. But the lady standing next to her, who's doing sign language, isn't wearing a mask. And she's standing like 3 feet away from her. Or maybe she's 6 feet, but it doesn't look like 6 feet. And despite all that, it's like, okay, so you're wearing a mask and nobody's within 20 feet of you. And yet the person standing next to you who's exercising and doing all the arm flailing is not wearing a mask. Now, and here's the whole thing. That's why I'm bringing this up is because she's now determined that it's okay for students to go back to contact sports. Contact sports are now allowed again. Oh, thank you. Thank you, madam. Shall we bow to the queen who's allowing us to do contact sports again? However, you can do contact sports, but you have to wear a mask. The magic mask has to be worn. Because obviously nothing except for, because the mask catches all that stuff, I guess. So now you can have, it just gets a little ridiculous. And then of course she says if a mask cannot be worn in these contact sports, you know, possibly because you're going to pass out from not being able to get enough oxygen. That, can you imagine boxing? Imagine boxing with masks on. Ridiculous. Maybe the goal should be to knock the other guy's mask off. Then you win. That'd be a neat sport. Mask tag. Just pull the mask off the other guy. So we have this craziness going on with a mask thing. So she says, if you can't wear a mask for the sport that you're in, if wearing a mask is not possible, then you have to go through testing. You have to go through, you have to be tested. I don't know if those are going to be the new Chinese testing methods, which are done via the rectum. They have this new test now. And I don't know if that's I don't know if they're going to test for all the strains. And I still haven't heard about how they test for all the strains yet or not. I'm not sure exactly how that works. Whether it's something that shows up in the type of test they're doing, if it's kind of like a what are those little tests they run? They run like certain kinds of light through a material, and they can figure out, it's like a spectrometer or whatever it's called. I don't know what it's called. Spectrograph. They can figure out what all the chemicals are in a particular spectrum. And I don't know if it's that kind of a thing. I don't know how they figure out what's in there, how it's made up of, how they can tell the difference between one. Anyway, so that's what's happening now in Michigan. They're allowing contact sports, but you have to wear a mask. And if you can't wear a mask, you have to get tested. And of course, with the accuracy of the tests now that we're finding out, not so accurate. And of course, the results on the test, I guess they have to do the instant test. And then they, hopefully the virus didn't just happen to be in your nose, just get started in there. And now you're going to be, the test won't show it. I talked about Marjorie Taylor Greene. In my opinion, this whole thing is just nothing but a bunch of bullies. All I see is people are bullying her, telling her that she can't be in because she said some things, and she explained herself really well, I think, on the House floor. I thought she did a very good job, and I can see why she got elected. I thought she did an excellent job. I'm glad she's there. And I think that she's gotten a bad rap from some of the people who've dug into her past and seen some of the things that she's posted on Facebook or whatever. And the thing of it is she's, at the same time, they had to vote on Liz Cheney. So now they have to just vote on Marjorie Taylor Greene. And hopefully they get past all this stuff and they work on it. And she came out and apologized for the QAnon, Q stuff, conspiracy stuff, and the 9/11 comments. I guess there were some things on there that she's apologized for that. I don't think she needs to. I don't think she has to. I think it's ridiculous. None of that happened since she's been voted in. And she... she has to answer the people who voted for her. Those are the people she needs to answer to, not the bullies in Congress who are trying to control her. To me, it just seems like, oh, now you want to be a part of the club. We're going to call you in here and have a special meeting with the big boys. And we're going to explain to you now you're supposed to behave. And if you don't behave, we're going to take you off these committees and you're going to be pretty much useless other than your little vote that you got over there. I find that rather troublesome that they're going to act like that. I'm not surprised because that's the way it's been going for a long time. Now we see it right there for everybody to see. Now, apart from that, here's some good news. I want to give an honorable mention to a particular governor who has just continued to... this guy, he doesn't just sit around doing nothing. This guy is a doer. He's a getter-dunner guy. Governor DeSantis out of Florida. They're going after big tech in Florida. They have determined that they have rights in Florida. And that if people are being... they can actually fine Twitter and Facebook and anybody else who is doing things to the rights, the free speech rights of, I think it is. I think it's a public square. I think it needs to be determined that that is a platform of, and you should have, be able to say whatever you want. And then it's, of course, here again, we have a president who is being, what he said on the 6th in his speech and everything he said up to that was all perfectly fine in terms of his rights. And I find it disgusting that other people can go out there and say, pigs in a blanket fry them like bacon. They can chant that in a group walking down the street, and that's protected free speech, obviously. What do we want? Dead cops? When do we want them now? Those are some of the things that were being chanted in some of the BLM protests, mostly peaceful BLM protests. By hundreds of people. But that's okay. And it's protected speech. It absolutely is. And then when you have that kind of speech and then someone goes up to a police car, just walks up from behind the police car, sticks a gun inside, and tries to assassinate two police officers. Just unloads on them. Who incited that? And of course the left doesn't say anything about it. When Nancy Pelosi was asked about the statues that were being torn down, I'll get this audio for everybody because it is just very telling. She just kind of shrugs her shoulders and goes, "I don't care much for statues. I don't care much about statues." She didn't say it real loud. She just kind of said, I don't care much for statues anyway. She doesn't care about the statues. And so someone brought up the question, well, shouldn't the town council and shouldn't they be torn down or taken down by the people and shouldn't it be decided by them? She goes, people are going to do what they're going to do. That's what she had to say. People are going to do what they're going to do. Okay. But I guess when people are going to do what they're going to do and they bust into the Capitol building, I guess now it's a whole different story. Now, all of a sudden, we don't want to defund the police. We want the police standing between us and those bad people. We all of a sudden have this building, which is a temple of democracy that cannot be defaced. It's really kind of a monument just like any other statue, Nancy. It's just a building. It's just a building. Yeah, it's a big fancy building and it's a lot of history there. A lot of things have happened there. So it becomes a monument, much like a statue, Nancy. But I don't care too much for statues. People are going to do what they're going to do. You didn't have that attitude on the 6th, did you? Yeah. When your life is involved. It's like someone busting into my home, which is a sanctity place. It is a sanctuary. Yep. It's my last place to retreat to. So I'm going to protect myself and my family. And I don't care what the consequences of that are. But all I know is if they get to me, if they can get rid of me, there's nothing stopping them from getting to my wife. So I'm going to make the stand right there. If it was just me, it wouldn't be as big of a deal, but it's not just me. It's everyone who depends on me to protect them. Whether that's in a shopping mall and I happen to be there, or if it's in my home. So that's all I got to say about that. Now, Governor DeSantis is going after big tech. They're going to start fining some of the big tech guys for, I guess they found some way to go after them and sue them. or submit some kind of a fine for breaking some kind of rules. I think that there are communication rules of some kind or something down there. Maybe it's different in Florida or whatever it is. Or somehow they found a way to go about it. So they're gonna file suit, file cases, and see what happens. I guess gonna go from there, which is good for them. That's got more guts than some or people in Congress, obviously. And that's he's been consistent with that kind of thing. Very creative, and just the whole thing with the whole, you know, with the pandemic and everything that was going on there. He pushed back against shutting things down there, and they've done an awesome job down there. Incredible job for the kind of considering that they have a much older population than many states in this country. A lot of retirees down there, a lot of older folks. Some places you go, I feel like an old guy. And there are some places you go down there, and I actually was checking into a hotel one time down there with another pilot, and this lady behind the desk, this is back when I was flying corporate way back in the day. And this guy, the guy I was with was actually pretty old. He wasn't too far from retirement. He's older than I was, and I wasn't like super young, but I was young. This lady goes, "It's nice to see some young people down here for a change." The guy I was with was like, he was like 60 years old. And I looked at him like, and of course, after we went out to dinner, later that night with a client, I think there was the engineer and a client and whoever it was, we're sitting there eating dinner. There wasn't one group that came in while we were there at this restaurant that didn't have somebody who either had a walker or they were on oxygen or both. Every group in that place. It was, and I'm not making light of that. I'm just saying it was a retirement mecca. There are some older folks there. And so that kind of community is in Florida. That's those people are there. So he's done a great job, in my opinion, of dealing with what he had to deal with down there. And held a very good election. They had very good mail-in ballot restraints and constraints down there. They did a good job of that. Everybody commended them for the way they handled the election. Went very well. Very well counted. It's over with very quickly. Yeah, he's done a good job. If I ever see him on a ticket that I'm voting on, I probably will vote for that guy for whatever he's voting, whatever he runs for. And I would suggest president possibly someday. So that's what I'm going to say. Yeah. So that's about all. You know, that's about the whole show I've got for you today. I really don't have a whole lot. Rabbi Rick probably will not be here tomorrow either because of his, he's got a thing. So he'll be done. I think he's done for the week. Might get a chance to call him tomorrow, maybe. Because that would be fun. If we could get, you know, Rabbi Rick on the phone, be kind of, well, that would be fun. We'll see if we can pull that off. Especially since I can, you know, there's one thing I can do. I can, I can play the little song that I love to play so much. And now I can't find it. It's here somewhere. It keeps skipping past it. I don't know where it's at. It's... Trust me, it's in there somewhere. But I need an engineer. If anybody wants to work for nothing, you can just let me know. Have a great night, everybody.
Rabbi Rick is on the phone.